Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janie and Ingram. We're going to get started with Kim. Heaven. Heaven is right here. Heaven is inside of you. Yes. Good morning, family. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You notice my husband, right?
I see the way
you look at me.
You look at me. As if to say it's right. I pray for you day in and day out. Something's happening to me. The man I used to be.
Go on, and on, and go.
heaven's in you.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and that was heaven. Kim, you see, we search a lifetime trying to find heaven, only to find that heaven is right there inside of you. Yes. With that being said, we're going to move right into our experience, our breath experience, recognizing that there is power in the breath. Sometimes we forget to breathe, family. We forget to breathe. And so in this right now moment, I want you to become very intentional about the breath, recognizing that there is only one power, one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, 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 many names. We recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So let's just breathe. Breathe, family. By breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and then release the breath, remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm, deep into the heart, because there's power in the breath, family. family. So let's center our mind, center our thoughts, become one with the one, and be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. Release. And last time, remember there is power in the breath. Let's breathe, family. Be still and know that I am. That I am God. Breathe. And release.
Let's get rid of all of the money hang-ups. I tell you how I want you to do this. I want you to get relaxed. Take about 3 good long breaths and stretch your feet out if you can. Now I want you to place your hands in an upward position on your lap. Just let them rest in an upward position. Somewhat slightly cupped. You see, like my cup runneth over. And just repeat this with me, right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I open my mind to all of the goodness of life.
I open my mind to all the goodness of life.
I deserve it all.
I deserve it
all. God wants me to have all of the goodness of life. It is God's pleasure to give me all of the goodness of life.
It is God's pleasure to give me
all of the riches of life.
All of the
health, happiness, love. Success, prosperity, and money. I totally open my mind to the flow.
I open my mind to the flow.
With no reservations. I opened my mind to money. The being, doing, having power of the mind. The being, doing, having power of God in me. This is real money. This is the money that becomes every form of money. That I need and want.
That I need and want.
And now we're going to go into a visualization for a moment, so I just want you to close your two outer eyes. Tilt your chin slightly upward. And look through the third eye, the eye of God in you. And repeat this visualization prayer treatment with me. I now enter into the theater of my mind. And I see myself.
And I see myself.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself as a healthy person.
I see myself as a healthy person.
I see myself as a happy person.
I see myself as a happy person.
I see myself as a loving person.
I see myself as a
beloved person.
I see myself as a beloved
person. I see myself as a successful, prosperous person.
I see myself as a successful,
I see and feel myself as a person who has a lot of money.
I see and feel myself as a person who has a lot of money.
I see that I have all of the money that I need for every good cause.
I see that I have
I see myself with stocks and bonds. Certificates of deposit. A big investment portfolio. I see myself having money making money. Money making money. Money making money. It feels wonderful. It feels good. I see and feel myself enjoying the goodness of money. Thank you, God in me, for money and all of the goodness of life.
Wow, and all the goodness in life. Woo! All right, good morning, good morning, good morning. I don't know what happened there, but you know, it do, these computers just do what they do, huh? Are you enjoying the goodness of money? We've been doing this prayer treatment for 15 days. How's it working for you? Are you manifesting, manifesting, manifesting? Well, still, I want you to be still, and we're going to hear Ayana and move into our today's conversation.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money.
How they should pray. I wasn't there, but I can't imagine that they may have sound something like this. Should we pray? 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 Here's what the Lord told us. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And super excited to be here today. Welcome, family. We're just going to go right into our conversation today. It's real interesting as I was reading through a lot of the emails, the texts from yesterday's conversation. And it's really interesting how relationships can show up in our lives and be the mirror of so much deep, profound energy. One of the letters said, asked the question, could you be married to someone and feel like the other woman? Because I know my husband's been messing around for years. Another lady asked a very similar question. And one lady talked about the damage of it, how it feels to your self-esteem. And I thought to myself, wow. So many people who want to be married and so many people married and so many unhappy people in no matter what situation, single or married or whatever. And as I moved through this journey, meeting different people, and I realized the one question that always seems to come up no matter how we talk about it, whether we're talking about our money energy, and it all keeps us stuck, relationships, money, all that stuff, right? And so I was thinking about how you feel like the other woman in your own marriage. I was thinking about that question deep, long, and hard. Well, how do you stay in other woman marriage, for relationship for 10 years, messing around with someone else's husband, you know. So these are all the kind of letters that were coming in and out of the conversation. And it all comes down to some things that I thought about last night. And one of the things I thought about is resistance. Well, I know you say, what does that have to do with my money, my relationship? Well, I was thinking about resistance because everything comes to be a reflection of where we are emotionally. That we've come to the love journey line and we seem to ask the same questions, and it's okay. It's absolutely okay, because I want you to ask the same question until you get the answer that works for your soul, or until you get it to the point where it becomes a part of who you are. But I often wonder, is the reason why we're hearer and not a doer of the word is because of resistance. And so I read this article on resistance, and I thought I'd share, but I wanted to talk about resistance. Because if everything is energy, everything is energy. Now I want you to think about this. And if everything works on vibration, what are we vibrating to say? My relationship is reflecting what it's reflecting right now. Whether it's my relationship to money, whether it's my relationship to a man, a woman, or myself, or however. What is it that I'm resisting seeing? So I wanted to read this. I thought it was really kind of interesting about resistance. She said, one of the most frustrating challenges to healing are the internal obstacles that keep us from following through on our intentions. The doubt, resistance, the I don't want to, and I don't feel like it, and feelings that get in the way of change. You see, resistance can feel so sticky and frustrating that we may resort to painful ways of moving through it. Control, suppression, white knuckling, I don't even know what that is. Anxiety, fear, punishment. If you don't do this, then this bad XYZ thing will happen. Bargaining. If you do XYZ, I'll give you ABC. Overstriving and more. I've certainly used all of these tactics in my own life, and they never felt good to my heart, even if they get me to obey temporarily. That's because I was making war against my resistance. To change how we respond to resistance, we change how we relate. To relate to resistance, doubt, and feelings of I don't want to with compassion, wisdom, and acceptance. Feel this now. I want you to feel this. How would that make you feel if you decided to embrace your doubt, your resistance, with compassion, wisdom, and acceptance? Fortunately, there are ways we can care for resistance without making ourselves wrong, without resistance being wrong, our life being wrong. There are ways we can honor our feelings of resistance and move through them. In other words, honoring our feelings of resistance doesn't mean we have to do what our resistance says. Softening means the resistance with safekeeping. One of the most powerful ways I found to soften my resistance is the practice of safekeeping. To describe safekeeping to you, I like to tell you a story. And in this case, a story from my own life. I'm a mom of four kiddos. Needless to say, life is full in my house. There are lots of needs to fill. Daily life is often a comedy of errors. And at the end of the story, my husband was out of town on a business trip. I was heading out of town for a funeral. My 11-year-old daughter was heading to a state soccer tournament several hours away, and we were moving out of our temporary rental in a few days. And this is all to say that I was feeling a wee bit stressed, okay? Really a lot. As I picked up my house, cared for my grief, prepared to send my family in three different directions with several children under feet, from tears to wilderness. On this particular morning, I was trying to get my 5 and 9-year-old boys to help me with the packing and was feeling a little frustrated by their whining and their resistance. And I coerced and I bribed and I threatened and I cajoled and talked in the tight tense. Do you not hear my voice rising? Mommy is angry voice. None of it worked, and none of it felt good. You see, the catalyst was my son breaking down in tears of overwhelm. Finally, his tears made me pause. I held him in a rocking chair and listened to him creating a space for his feelings. And afterwards, instead of ordering my boys around, we worked together on packing up the house. Several hours later, I about fell off my chair when my son, the same son who'd been crying in frustration, said, "Packing? It's actually fun, Mom." Now, I don't find packing fun, but what made it fun to my son was our togetherness, our connection, our love. It's also what made him open to the idea of packing with me instead of fighting me on it. And bingo, the light bulb went up. Is your heart in safekeeping? See, it's the same process with ourselves. You may feel a lot of resistance about changing some of your habits in your life. Understandably so. Change is so uncomfortable, and it takes effort. We often feel like fumbling beginners back at kindergarten, growth is being vulnerable and asking for support. When you're resisting the rising, do you do what I did with my boys? Do you overpower? Do you coerce it, bribe it, yell at it even? I'm guessing it works as well with your own heart as it worked with my son. But here's the powerful question of the day. What would be equivalent of holding your resistance in your lap and listening to its cries? My mentor, Dr. Gordon Newfield, says getting children to behave isn't about powering over them. Children want to obey when they trust that we have their hearts and safekeeping. Oh, let's seek that in. That phrase brings tears to my eyes with its love and mercy. When I first heard it, I immediately thought about my relationship with myself. Is my heart in safekeeping? Why your heart needs safety? It's a pertinent question, as I recognize that if my heart isn't safe, I can't look inside. I cannot look inside. I feel too afraid of what I find. If my heart is not safe, I feel ashamed, too ashamed to look at honestly at what my heart needs shifting in my life. I run and I hide. I soothe myself from the shame with food, internet surfing, gossiping, overdoing, or perfectionism or avoidantism. How many of us avoid? How many of us begin internet surfing, overeating, try with perfectionism. You see, if my heart isn't safe, I feel anxious. Every step feels very life or death, tight, tense, stressful. And the messy path of growth is hiccuped by my need to, above all else, not mess up. But most of all, when my heart isn't safe, I feel disconnected from my very self. I feel small, separate, helpless, hopeless, and I end up missing myself. Do you visit with yourself? Rumi once said this. Do you visit with yourself? Meditation teacher Terry Brent says that when we give someone our presence, a kind, a non-judgmental, totally accepting attention, we're offering love. See, I think that's what Dr. Newfield is saying, too. I think that's what I offered my son, what shifted our relationship, as well as his willingness to help Pat. Do you visit yourself? I think it's particularly important to rest in our presence when we're asking something challenging of ourselves. In Newfield circles, this is called collect before you direct. So would you collect your child? Connect with your child with touch, your eyes, your voice, your love before you direct them? Ask them to do something. This is because a child will automatically, forcefully say no to a parent that they don't feel attached to. We automatically say no to our requests, no matter how good they are for us, when we're feeling disconnected from our heart. So when you feel resistance to change, healing, and growth, perhaps what you're really feeling is loneliness, a thirst for the heart, thirst for your own presence. Resting in your own presence, I feel how my heart cries out to be collected, to be loved, to be appreciated, to be known, to be seen, to rest unconditionally in my own loving presence. You see, there's a direct correlation between time, listening to myself, being with myself, and my willingness to do what my higher self asks me. Dear one, precious soul, I invite you, cross the threshold of your own heart. And before you embark on your to-do list or before you ask something of yourself, just simply be. Take 10 minutes and visit with yourself in the morning. Take 5 minutes and visit with yourself before a meal. Take 10 minutes and visit with yourself before the end of the day. Check in. Offer yourself tenderness. Let yourself be seen. Appreciate your tender, precious humanity. Your suchness. Breathe, family, breathe. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Offer yourself gratitude. Check in and ask yourself, how are you feeling, dear one? Put your hand on your heart. Feel your tender pulse, the life thread that connects you to the earth. Feel the tender thread that connects you to others. Look inside and bask in your vastness and your goodness. And if you check in and you feel chaos or discomfort, an overwhelm of sadness and anger, envy, offer it kindness. Love yourself into, if you're feeling overwhelmed, love that part of you that feels overwhelmed, the sadness, the anger. Imagine a troubled 5-year-old needing a mother soothing and give yourself the same soothing. There now. I'm right here for you. You okay? I got you. Soften your belly. Allow yourself to be in whatever state you find yourself and feel the tension at ease and unwind its coils and unfold. This rest, this ease, this space of unconditional acceptance is your home. This is your nature. This is who you really are. And how sad that we so seldom go there, that we think we have to fix ourselves before we can rest in our own presence. I invite you. Don't believe the voice that say you can't go home. Home is always there inside your heart. Home is inside your heart. Go. open the door and visit with yourself and relax in your own mercy. Go back again and again and again and again and forge that connection over and over, feeding your hunger for closeness regularly throughout the day. Just as you feed your hunger for physical nourishment 2, 3, 4 times a day, visit with yourself. And I think you'll find that resistance softens. Visit with yourself, and I think you'll find the deepest rest of safe keeping. And just breathe that in. How many of us actually visit with ourselves? How many of us are in avoidance? I thought that was a really good article on resistance this morning, because so many of us resist change in our lives. As we walk this 21-day money love challenge, are we resisting? So many people have been writing me on their busyness and haven't been willing to do the work because they find themselves busy. But that's just another form of resistance. Fear, another form of resistance. Another form of resistance. And so today, our work is to check in with our heart. Check in with our heart. Sit with ourselves. And comfort ourselves through the resistance. There's nothing more important than love. Love of oneself. Many times resistance is experienced as fear. The degree of fear equates to the strength of resistance. Therefore, the more fear we feel about a specific enterprise, the more certain we can be that that enterprise is important to us and to the growth of our soul. That's why we feel so much resistance. If it meant nothing to us, there'd be no resistance. Are you paralyzed with fear sometimes? That's a good sign, because fear is good. Like self-doubt, fear is an indicator. Fear tells us what we have to do. Remember one rule of thumb: the more scared we are working of a work or a calling, the more sure we can be that we have what it takes to do it. So the question is, will you be willing to do the work past loving yourself into the place of your greatness? Today we're doing our 21-day money challenge. We had a great conversation about how our money shows up has a direct correlation of how we feel about ourselves. Dr. Dennis Kimbrough told us the only difference between us and those wonderful people we admire, like the Oprah Winfrey's and Tyler Perry's, is what? The courage to make that decision, to give ourselves permission to stand in our greatness, to give ourselves permission to allow ourselves to be all that we call to the planet to be. So today, I want us to work through that resistance. If you have not been doing the work on the money challenge, go to the love journey. And it doesn't matter if you're not on the day that we're on. Start where you are and love yourself exactly where you are. Put your intentions out there. If you want to change your relationship to money, you have to start somewhere. And remember, it starts in our belief system. We got to reframe our money story. You are so deserving of all the goodness of life. So deserving. And I'm so excited to see so many people did their wealth corner. I just want to honor so many of you all, how beautiful your wealth corners are looking. I'm so excited to be on this journey with you to develop a more positive relationship with our money. You know, so many people are feeling fear right now with so much in our politics and how, you know, we see what's going on outside of us. But I just want to remind you today again that no president, no political, nothing outside of us is more powerful than what's inside of us. And I know money is a topic that can trigger a lot of people. It's a topic that really set people off. And so sometimes when we find ourselves getting upset about money, just pause for a moment and see if we can get curious instead of triggered. And start to find out why are we triggering, because that's another form of resistance too, because money is a very powerful topic. It's a very powerful topic. It's about frequencies and vibrations and where are we vibrating at when it comes to our money. And when you get your alignment and relationship with money right, massive opportunities open up in our lives. And it's not about just being millionaires and billionaires. It's about having a positive, empowered relationship with money. What's our goal? Not just to be financially free, but to be financially significant, where we can make significant changes in our communities. We won't have to look outside ourselves, you know, to have things happen. But when we come together collectively, developing our relationship with money, we won't have to look outside ourselves, because guess what? We can say this school doesn't have computers and this school is inferior with their products, books. And we can come together and say they need X amount of dollars, and we can all write checks and make sure that this school and our babies are being educated properly. That's why this is a powerful journey. And in order for us to do, the first thing we have to really question, why are we resisting? What is money? What is money? If money is energy, and money represents energy in exchange of value, and in life, there are transactions. We transact money. We exchange money for some type of value in life. Now, that value may be a new pair of shoes. That value may be a retreat. That value may be coaching. Whatever we're purchasing in exchange for value. And so many of us have built up money stories or money paradigms. We were told by someone growing up, maybe money doesn't grow on trees. We live in a scarce universe. You got to work really hard and, you know, to barely earn a living or whatever it might be. You really got to ask yourself, what's my money story? So when you think about money or maybe not having enough money, what are the stories that you're still telling yourself? Because the stories we tell are the stories we live. And have we really been intentional about changing and shifting our money story? Still hearing us have conversations about with unintentional conversations about money. Really get into this exercise and really think about what your money story is. And then tap into that underlying emotion below that story, spiritual truth. We live in an abundant universe. We live in a universe where there's more than enough. We have not run out of air. Try to go to the beach and count how many pebbles are in the sand. We live in a truly abundant universe where energy ebbs and flows. And then we have that. To be able to open ourselves to receive, receive, receive. If we want to be able to get paid well for our services, we got to be able to receive. The other thing is that we want to be able to be in a structure, in a system, a dynamic that allows us to be abundantly compensated for the value that we're bringing to the world. I'm going to say that again. The other thing is that we want to be able to be in a structure and a system and a dynamic that allows us to be abundantly compensated for the value that we're bringing to the world. Yes, you are valuable, and you have to come face to face with your magnificence, and somebody is out there praying right now because you are the answer to their prayers, and they're ready to pay you for your value that you bring to them. Now, your definition of abundance and someone else may be different. But as long as you have more than enough to go around, that's what abundance is. And when you have enough, you know money at the end of the month instead of month at the end of the money. That's what we want to think about. It's not about comparing ourselves. It's not about keeping up with the Joneses. It's about living our own greatness, our own story, having our own voice. So to get it really gets down to what? Limiting beliefs, limiting story. Am I telling myself about why I can't have what I want? Remember, we live the story we tell ourselves. What's the underlying negative emotion? How is that fueling my inability to receive? I can't receive it. I'm not worth it. I'm not valuable enough. And I'm going to switch this a little bit into relationship, because I was hearing some of the questions that we were asking in relationship to yesterday and some of the stuff that came through the emails and texts. We had over 54 texts, 153 emails. And this all came down to one thing. Am I worthy enough? Am I worthy enough? Am I valuable enough? John Johnson asked Dr. Dennis Kimball, why wasn't he a millionaire when he went out searching and interviewing millionaires? He said, you can tell a lot about a person and how they value themselves based on their bank account. And I thought for a long time, how does my bank account reflect the value I find in myself? It took a long time for me to correlate that my self-worth has a lot to do with my network, how I feel about myself. Because when I begin to feel that I add value, when I begin to understand and know that I add greatness to the world and that I am the gift, my exchange, my value for value exchange differently, because I understand that I know I'm worth it. I know I'm worth it. I know I am worth it and more. I know that I am priceless. But I know there has to be some sense of exchange for the gifts and talents that I share with the world. So at the end of the day, if I'm not worthy, if I'm not valuable, if I'm not deserving, can I receive my proper value in the world? You see, how can I add proper value to the world? Because profit, money, and exchange, really profit is a byproduct from adding value to the world. Let me say that again. Really profit is a byproduct from adding value to the world. So if we can get really clear on how do I want to add value to the world, maybe in the form of coaching, maybe in the form of, you know, teaching, or maybe in the form of providing a service to somebody else, how can I then take that value that I want to add to the world, put myself inside of a structure that allows me to properly be compensated for the value that I'm bringing to the world, to the planet? And then how can I take a look at my money stories, my limiting emotions that keep money out? Here we go with that resistance again, because we have so many people, entrepreneurs, business owners that provide massive value to the world. But their own money paradigms, their own money stories really allow them not to receive their true abundance that they deserve to have coming to them. See, on top of that, I would suggest it's important to think about how important it is for us to receive. You see, when you allow yourself to invest in yourself, when you allow yourself to be a conduit, that flow of giving and receiving, all of a sudden you'll find more energy and more money coming into your life as well. So the question for you is this: how could you add more value to the world? How could you see yourself in a system that allows you to receive the proper abundance for that value? What are your limiting money stories and beliefs? And how can we start to transform those into empowering beliefs and empowering stories? See, these are powerful questions that can massively shift your relationship with money. And remember, money is energy. You deserve to receive that energy. You deserve to invest and give that energy as well, because that energy is the cycle. And when we cut off the receiving, we cut off the giving, the energy blocks. So really make it your entire intention to open up and allow yourself to be within the ebb and the flow of the energetic financial exchange in your life. Remember, money is just God's love in action. Take action. Make it real. This is your life. And I invite Khadija in to tell us today's money love challenge. Good morning, Khadija.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, Janine. Happy Thursday, Love Journey family. I tell you, when you share every morning, it's right on time with whatever the task we have today for Money Love Challenge. So today is day 8. And if you have been following family, I think today's day 9. Let me check. Let me look at my book. Ha, ha, ha. Today is day 9. Yesterday was day 8. Day 8 was cashing out your gift cards and your store credits and go to the store and cash out. Use up those gifts that you got for your birthday, Christmas, Valentine's Day. So today's challenge is to look at what you have. Look at your bank account. Look at those balances and appreciate the abundance you have. And also be appreciative for what is to come. So I know, Janine, you talked to us about praying over our money, and I know you have done exercises where you pray over your money, so I would just encourage everyone, you know, today when you go online or if you have your bank statements and you get them out, to be thankful to God for whatever is in, but also look at your investments, too. I wanted to add that, too. To look at your investments, go into your, you know, if you have stock, go into that account. Go into your E-Trade or your Capital One investment or whoever you're investing with. Go into that account, open it up, and be thankful. And know that it's going to increase your real estate investments. If you have real estate investments, you know, pull it out. Pull out the check or imagine the check that's to come. And be appreciative for that. So that's today's challenge. Look at what you have now. If you've got $27.17 in your account, be thankful for it. And know that God is going to provide more. There's more, plenty more, where that came from. I remember a couple of ago, I had found out this figure that said that a trillion dollars circulates on the planet every day. Every day. So family, we are abundant. You are abundant. You are walking around with million-dollar ideas in your mind. I am walking around with million-dollar ideas in my mind. Janine's walking around with million-dollar ideas in her mind. So let's be the abundance. Know that more is coming. And with that, I am complete.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much for leading us on this 21-day challenge, Money Love Challenge. I'm super excited, and I tell you, it has been a blessing to be intentional, to clean out my wallet, and I'm not at home to do my wealth corner, but I can't wait to get back and just fluff up my wealth corner and my money altar and just be excited about just developing a more powerful relationship with my money. I love talking to my money. I love sitting with my money, listening to my money tell me what direction to invest it in, bless it in. It's just been a wealth of beauty, of richness to just know that money is just another expression of God. Just another expression of God. What a beautiful thought. If money is just energy, money is just love, money is just so plentiful, and to feel that abundance. I heard you say this. This is so interesting because people always ask this question. You say, let's just be abundant. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes I hear people say, when I used to hear people say, oh, you have to be love or you have to be success. Stop chasing success and be success. Don't chase love, be love. And I didn't really know what all that meant. And it's so amazing now to really understand what it means to be whatever it is that I want to be. To really be. You know, when you really think about that, to be love, to be money. It took me a minute to really understand that. Mm-hmm. To be love. And it was on my journey to learning to love myself that I really understood what being something really meant. You see, when you become something, that means it comes from the inside out. When you become prosperity, we hear Reverend Ike said to us, you got to be prosperity. You got to be the prosperity consciousness of Christ. What did that really mean to me? It didn't mean anything when I was coming up, really. I didn't know what that meant. But now I understand the very essence and the nature of being something means to feel it so deeply into my soul, etched into my soul, that it reeks in every cell in my body. You see, when I became love, love became my nickname. People started naming me love because it reeked from every cell in my body. I became the very existence of what love was. But I didn't always start out that way because I didn't even know how to be anything. I thought I had to chase love and chase money, and I had to be a hustler. Now, I remember even singing, I'm a hustler, baby. Baby, I'm attracting money into my life with ease, elegance, and grace. I don't hustle. Money comes and flows into my experience with ease, elegance, and grace. That's a great mantra, too. Money flows into my life with ease, elegance, and grace. Thank you so much, Khadijah Ali. I just want to tell you, thank you for being present yesterday. Your conversation, your truth, and your authenticity was so powerful that people are still sending text messages and questions about relationships. Oh, my God, it was so powerful. And I just wanted to say thank you for just you simply being you. I love you, Khadijah Ali.
Thank you, Lady Love, and thank you to the community, everyone who is here helping me to be vulnerable and share my truth. I really appreciate that. So thank you.
Yes. All right. I'm going to invite a beautiful sister in to tell us about her conversations that she will be talking about this weekend. You are on the air, Miss Beautiful. And I think it's The Bush is Swelling. Is that the name of your all show this weekend?
Yes. Good morning, Sister Love.
Good morning.
And Sister Khadijah, how are you? What an awesome, awesome testimony this morning of love in so many different realms and dimensions.
Yay!
I'm so sorry. It's so wonderful to hear how to apply the tools that you're suggesting regarding how to attract what we need. And it all comes from a love vibration, and that is so true. And one of the premise, the Bush is Swelling show, is about, and thank you so much, the Love Journey show, for allowing us the platform or the opportunity to present our show on your platform. And the Books is Swelling show is about sharing tidbits of information from a love perspective on how we can heal ourselves from a sexual wellness perspective. So this weekend we are going to be talking about saying hi to Randy. Randy is another English name. I understand that means another term for when we don't have enough sexual energy in our lives. But it means also, did your libido go bye-bye? And many of us are going through these challenges either through menopause, andropause, medications, just the energy of our libido, and we need to understand the importance of having healthy sexual energy, no matter what age you are, and that is based and located in your root chakra, which is at the base of your spine. So this Saturday, 5 p.m. Central your time, 9 p.m. Eastern New York, we're going to have a special guest. Her name is beautiful sister from Maryland, Baltimore. Her name is Dr. Pamela Yewong Hall. The sister is, she was on our, one of our shows in February. And the sister is a master tantric teacher, Chinese herbologist, and also an acupuncturist. And she has a wealth of information on how we can rev up our libido. We'll be focusing on the men because we focused on the women on the March the 3rd on your platform. So this time we'll be focusing more on how males can rev up their libido. And we're also still going to share tidbits for women to really enhance that, because we want to keep the passions and the fires burning in the bedroom. We want not, and not necessarily to say you had to have a mate, but also to how you see yourself as a healthy, sexual, loving being, and how important it is for you to have a healthy, like how you shared, having a healthy view on money. See yourself as a healthy sexual being. You don't have to be in a relationship to see yourself as that sexual god or goddess from within. Because when you have healthy attitudes regarding that sexual energy, it also attracts not only money, it attracts positive people. It also helps to reduce infections and diseases in that chakra area as well. So we are so looking forward. And again, we want to thank the Love Journey Dog Talk Radio Show for having us on. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Najami, so much. And so would you didn't tell them the time or the date. You just said this weekend.
Sorry, the 17th. Our show is on twice a month, every other Saturday on the Love Journey Show. On the 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. Central, and I believe it will be 7 p.m. Pacific time. And we'll be on the first Saturday of every month and the third Saturday of every month. So we will be having different topics. Your co-host, I am Najami Nizama, a.k.a. Bushwoman. And my co-host is Marcia Chambers, the speaker MC of Swell and the speaker MC show. And you can go on our Facebook page, the Bush is Swelling Show, where you will get tidbits on health, for sexual wellness. You can go on the Speaker MC show blog on her site, and the Swell. Also, Swell will be having a champagne and chocolate event coming up in New York on the 31st. And I will be having how to write your affirmations to attract your desires in New York on April 29th. And we'll be promoting that as well. So you can go, again, on Facebook page, Bush is Swelling Show. You can also go on the Bushwoman Conversations Project page. And Bushwoman is spelled with a slash, W-O/M-A-N, Conversations Project page. But, again, we are all about health from a very healthy perspective, because it's so interesting that when you bring up the word sex, people get so uncomfortable about that conversation. And we want to bring some healing to that conversation.
Wow, Najami, thank you for letting us know what you'll be talking about. Isn't it interesting that the two things that trigger people is sex and money, money and sex. And one of the two of the most powerful things that we can really develop with ourselves is sex and money. Wow. That's exciting to know that you will be hosting the show on Saturday, and that's 9 p.m. Eastern. So that means that's 8 Central. And the number is 602-753-1902. That's 602-753-1902. That's Saturday, March 17th. And guess what, family? That's a powerful day, because that's going to be a full moon night. That's going to be a healing moon. That's the moon in Pisces, a healing moon. Yes. So make sure you do your full moon ritual And I'm going to make sure I post that on our Love Journey page. You can make sure you can come to our Love Journey page, find out what time to come to the call. But also, we're going to post a full moon ritual for you as well. All right. Thank you, Najami.
Thank you so much, and have an awesome day, ladies. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Good morning, Rosa J. I saw you on hold, and then I see you taking off, but you're welcome to speak if you like.
Okay.
Rosa J.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, I was thinking about today's activity, and when you look at and look at your money, you know, we've been doing this exercises like this for years. And one of the things that I remember when we first started the journey of loving ourselves well enough to love our money and our relationships and all of that, and I remember how I didn't really, I can remember saying to you, oh, you know what, I don't really worry about money. I don't really concern myself with money. And then when I looked at it, I realized that I was one time in a space where if I didn't have dollar bills or no money in my account, it totally disturbed me. I mean, I get all these feelings of poverty and everything. And now today, I can walk around without money, without dollars, with an empty wallet, no change, no nothing. And I'm all right with that. Now, that doesn't mean that when I look at my accounts, as Khadijah says, I look at all my accounts. I look at my Bitcoin account. I look at my gold account. I look at my savings accounts. Now, my bank accounts I only use for doing stuff. But I do have places where money is stored. So if my bank account doesn't have 100 or more, then I look at the other accounts to remind me that I pay myself first, regardless. And that, I think, is a place of growth for me. And so many of us look at our bank accounts and at our wallets, and then we stop and say, oh, woe is me, and how am I going to pay this, and what am I going to do? You know, am I going to borrow the money from a friend or a lover or a child, or am I going to get the money before payday? Most people get paid on every other week. But what I realized in this process is it's important to honor yourself, and I really want you to listen to this. I don't care what you do, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you have a job, whether you're both. Whatever, and this was a process too. I remember when it says pay yourself tithe to God. So we go into tithing in our church as our God to do the work that the church has to do. They need money. So I started tithing on a regular basis, put it on automatic, and everything was all right. And it expanded how many dollars I had in my accounts to pay for services rendered. You know, pay the rent man for the house that I live in, pay the gas and electric bill, pay for the phone that I use for my business, pay for the TV, the internet, all those things that I use, those services. It is right for me to offer them an offering for their services, no matter what it is. And so that started happening. But you know what the changing point was in my whole finances? Was when I honored myself first, when I paid myself first. It has been an amazing change of circumstance, change of an. So when I started paying myself first, the first day that I go to work, and I heard this somewhere, that every time you go into work every week, your first day of work should be to you. So if you make $150, $250, whatever you make that first day, that's the money that you save out of your check. You pay yourself first, and then everybody else will be able to be paid. And that's what happened. What happened to me was that at the end of the month, I had money to go into the next month. just because I paid myself first, I tithed second, and then I paid everybody else.
Come on now.
Then I know. I noticed that you said at the end of the program yesterday, or one of the days, you were asking for offerings because it costs, and I know it costs to do the conference call
because I used to do it. I didn't ask. Remember, I didn't ask. I said thank you.
Well, you
for those
it.
Who
you mentioned it. You mentioned.
I said thank you.
Well,
remember, I was in gratitude.
Right. Okay. So that's a good thing. And I remember that. Well, see, that's part of your tithing too. You know, tithing means to send finances to the place that you get your feeding from.
Spirit
your
fed.
Spiritual feeding.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to start tithing to you on a monthly basis. I have to add that to my must do automatically. I got to go into PayPal and send it out there or do it on cash. I like PayPal because I can set it up as a recurring. I don't like, you know how we write down all our bills and then we check them off as we pay them? I don't like doing that. I like setting it up and then just do it automatically. So I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to see it. I don't have to do none of that. So there's a way to ease your pain of offerings to services rendered. For me, it's automatic. And so things change, but I'm telling you, for real, my finances changed when I started paying me as God, my first 10% of all that I make. Everything changed. Never before, and then I've been retired for 10 years, never before this last year and this year did I ever have money from my retirement to move over or carry over to the next month. It was only started in February when I started paying my February last year when I started paying myself first. You know, and I cannot even begin to imagine what the difference will make when you start honoring yourself and telling the universe that you're important. And money will, like you said, will flow to you. You will become a money magnet.
Yes, yes.
You won't worry about what you have. You'll just be in gratitude for the rest.
Thank you, Rosa J.
Have a great day.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful, beautiful testimony. I remember when years ago I read the book, The Richest Man in Babylon. And I remember the man was looking and searching for the answer. And when he finally got the answer, then he told him to pay himself first. Pay himself first. And I remember doing that when I started doing it, and then I stopped. I remember starting doing it, and then I stopped. And I remember sitting in the middle of the bed talking to God again. Y'all know that middle of the bed conversation. And I remember immediately asking God what to do differently with my money. Why was I in this money crunch? What is, you know, and I remember God sending me to seek ye the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. I remember, well, what does that really mean, God? Who is God? And God said, well, who is God? And I said, I'm God. And God said, yeah, so if I'm to seek me first, then I'm supposed to pay myself first. And then my tithes and then everything else. That's so true. I heard that download straight from heaven. Pay yourself first. And let me tell you why. So when I used to do it, I was doing it because it was a rote behavior, trying to create a habit. But when I decided to really start paying myself first, and I started to really have a relationship with my money, you know what happened? I realized that I was teaching the universe how to treat me in my money energy, that I was important. See, when I used to get my money, and then I paid the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker first, and then didn't have enough money for the end, guess what? I was teaching the universe that I wasn't important, that I was not important to the energy of this money, that I was working to pay bills instead of working to invest in me. Our job should invest in our future. And that was really something. I'm going to tell you, I love the love journey. I don't care what nobody say. The love journey was for me to shift and change my attitude about so many things. I've learned so much on this love journey experience, being on this ride with you on and all the guest speakers, meditation and prayers and actually journaling through this experience. I've learned how to make myself important in my money energy. And when I forget how to stop and say, you haven't paid yourself first. How are you teaching the universe to treat you when it comes to money? You teaching the universe to give you money to pay out, but not give you money to invest in you. So I want you to think about that. Thank you, Rosa J. Hodge, for your testimony this morning, your conversation, Khadija Ali, Najami, all of you all that's on the line today. I want to thank you for being here today and reminding you, invest in yourself first. Rosa took it a bit deeper. Your whole first day of work should be for you now. Most people say the first hour of the day should be yours to keep. The first money you earn, the first hour of money you earn is yours to keep. We got to figure out some type of relationship that we're going to do and be committed to the commitment, whether it's the first hour of the day that's yours to keep, whether it's 10% of everything you make, whatever you decide, make a commitment to be committed to the commitment and show your money energy how important you are, because the universe treats you the way you treat yourself. Because what is the language of the universe? Vibration. And vibrationally, how we treat ourselves with our money. Because I'm going to leave you with the four things that the millionaire said that came on that we interviewed, that I interviewed, that you were here to be present to. And I always think about him a lot when I think about our money journey. These are the things that he said. He said, we always get on the line. We talk about the trillions of dollars that black people make. He said, and black people make a lot of money. He said, but we have to learn how to make money. So that's what we have to do. So I'm listening to Rosa, but Rosa not just talking. I just want to just give Rosa a lot of love, because when we started out on our Money Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe, Rosa was one of the people who talked about, well, money ain't everything. You can get stuff and not have money and all that stuff. And now listen to her and her conversation with her money. But not only is she understanding money, fiat money, but she's also understanding how to deal in bitcoins and digital currency, and she understanding how to deal with gold and silver. She's expanding her wealth and leaving a legacy, because she's not only talking about her relationship to physical money, but the energetic expression of money in all forms. And she's grown into that, because she was one of the ones who was fighting me in the beginning when we started Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe and Money, her and Claudette. And they both, look, Claudette got one of the most pretty wolf corners I've seen, her and Khadija. Now, Khadija never was resistant to the money thing, but, you know, Claudette and they've grown so much, and I love it. So what am I saying? To have a relationship. He said, first thing we got to do is build a relationship with our money. Why? Because so many of us get our money and we already have it set to pay out, but we never put ourselves on our own money to-do list. We never pay ourselves first. Build a relationship with money. If you want to know, learn something more, you want to get in a better relationship with something, what do? You spend time with it. So that means you got to spend time in your money energy. If that means taking physical money and putting it out on the bed and sitting with it, writing to it, having a journal, do it. And then he said, you got to learn how to plant your money, because he was a farmer. Remember, he came from a long line of farmers, and he's a millionaire as a farmer. And he said, we got to learn to plant money so that money can make money. Anytime we have to physically exchange something, our immediate presence for money, that means we're not learning how to let our money make money. You should learn how to plant your seeds where your money can make money while you sleep. And then the next thing he said was, speak to our money. He said, talk to your money. Yes. He said, talk to your money. And then he said, The last thing he said is sit and listen to your money. He said, because if you listen to your money will show you where to invest and where to plant the money so that it can return back a millionfold. Now, that may sound a little woo-woo, but think about it. If anything is, everything is energy, then energy is vibration, then just spending time with it, you are here. And then just to piggyback on George Washington Carver, he said that the plant spoke to him, right? But it was because he listened to the plants. He fell in love with the plants. And when you fall in love with anything, it reveals its secrets to you, right? Fall in love with your energy and your relationship to money. It will reveal its secrets to you today. So that's our story of today. And I just want to leave you with the thought that you are a gift from God. Remind you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is the only choice. And remember to not just dream, but live your God-sized dreams, family. You've been tuned in to The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And I'm going to leave you with Reverend Ike. I think he's one of the most phenomenal, or was one of the most phenomenal minds on the planet when it came to understanding our money and relationships. One of the most amazing gifts to the planet. And he said, you have to believe you deserve it. That's what this one is. And I see you in the morning on Love Journey Experience.
This is one of the reasons why one of the big things that keep money and goodness away from people is such a bugaboo. Do you know, people feel that they are not worthy. People have a great feeling of undeservedness. And where does it begin? With that religious idea of original sin. There's a chapter in this book titled, You Deserve God's Goodness. And I'm going to tell you, until you get all of those ideas out of your head about you don't deserve and you are not worthy, then you're going to be kicking money and all of the various forms of good that you would really like to have away from you. In this book, in that chapter, You Deserve God's Goodness, I tell you the one reason why you do deserve all of God's goodness. There's only one reason. And first of all, let me relieve you. It's not because you are either good or bad. Matter of fact, the bad folks, sometimes I think they get it before the good folks. Why? Because the bad folks don't have the hang-ups that you good folks have. See, the bad folks don't give a hang about all that theology. They don't care whether you believe in post-trib or pre-trib or mid-trib or no-trib. Matter of fact, I gave up all tribulation myself. I've already been through mine, going through some of it right now. I ain't looking for no more tribulation. Well, let me hear you say, I ain't looking for no more tribulation. But do you know, organized religion will put you through all these things. Yes. And there are preachers and churches and theologians that cuss each other out and fall out over whether they're post-trib or pre-trib or mid-trib or no-trib. I'm a no-trib. I've got enough of the tribulation. Just like the old lady that used to sit on her porch rocking and moaning all the time. A little kid came by and said, Grandma, how come you're always moaning and groaning like that? Grandma stopped rocking and shook her finger in the kid's face and said, now let me tell you one thing. The Bible says that we are going to have trials and tribulation. And I don't care what you say, I mean to tribulate. You know, you can get whatever you want out of the Bible and some stuff you don't want. If you don't know what you're doing, do not read the book of Revelation. You will never sleep again. You'll get mixed up with those headless horsemen. And drown in the sea of blood. Well, let me get back. Reverend Ike, what does all of this have to do with money? And I was about to tell you something about feeling undeserved. Here's another way of stating principle. In life, you get what you sincerely think, believe, and feel you deserve. If you feel like you deserve that new church, that property, you'll get it. If way down in your gut, you are convinced, it is your conviction that God wants you to have it, nothing can keep it from you. And you see, we've got to, that's just another statement, gut level, that I'm using again to describe the Freudian term for subconscious and the Bible term for heart. But you see, this is what you've got to learn how to do. You've got to learn how to get way down there in your gut. Some of you need a gut job. Ask yourself, what do I think? What do I believe? What do I feel about myself? Way down in my gut.